All right, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. You can also find me on Gab at Cybertext. And, of course, I'm here, fritzreport.podbean.com. It makes sense for me to consolidate those names and pull them all together. And that is on my to-do list, but for now, this is it. Today, we are going to talk about the insurrection, the ongoing insurrection against the kingdom of darkness, against the lies, the evil propaganda, the filth that Satan himself is spreading along with his seed. Satan has his own seed. Satan has his own children. The serpent has his own children. They are a brood of vipers. This goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. It's not a new invention. I didn't come up with this on my own. Jesus Christ talked about it. He repeatedly referred to those people as the seed of the serpent. You brood of vipers. So did John the Baptist. And Jesus Christ prophesied and brought about the utter destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. God himself destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. He did it through the Roman armies in 70 AD, but God himself destroyed the center of their evil culture. Now, that culture was not evil in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They worshipped and served God Almighty, but the Jews took it and they twisted it. And that is true over and over and over again in the Holy Scriptures, in the prophets, and in the Gospels, and in the epistles, and in the Revelation. And they rejected God, and they took the religion and said, hey, this is our religion now. It belongs to us. Vineyard's ours. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're God's servant. I don't care if you came to get some fruit of the garden. I don't care if you're the owner of the vineyard's son. We'll take you and we'll murder you. In fact, that's what they did. God sent the prophets. He sent the prophets to the Jews and said, I need some fruit out of my vineyard. And they beat him and they cast him out. And finally he sent his son. And they murdered his son so that the kingdom would be theirs, so the vineyard would be theirs, and they could do with it as they please. And Jesus Christ shows up. And Jesus Christ was explicit to them. He says, the kingdom, the vineyard will be taken away from you. The care of the vineyard will be taken care away from you. It will be given to another people. It will be given to another ethnos, another ethnic group. Where does it go? It goes to Europe. Hello, hello. This is just so easy to say, so easy to see. And I let's start recording this here we're going to record this here too. It's so easy to say. It's so obvious from the Holy Scriptures. It's obvious from the Holy Scriptures that this was what happened. Over and over and over, Jesus Christ gives parables to the Jewish leadership of what's going on. Even the parable of the two sons. Parable of the two sons. There's two sons. God goes to one son. He said, hey, will you work for me? He said, no, I'm going to go do my own thing. And the dad says, okay, fine. So he goes to the second son, and he says to the son, will you work for me? Son says, yeah. But over time, it turns out that the other son, the son who said he would work, refused to. And yet the first son that God originally intended came back and said, yeah, I will work for you, sir, my Lord, my Father, in the vineyard. And the question is, who did the will of the Father? It was the son that initially said no, but then he turned around and he repented, he came back and he did it. This is a prophecy to the Jews. The prophecy about the parable of the vineyard. The owner of the vineyard has made a beautiful vineyard, gave it to some people to care for the vineyard. Went on a journey. And he sends his messengers, give me some fruit of the vineyard. And they beat the servants, and they killed some of the servants. Later on, the king says, I'll send you my son. I'll send you my son. Surely they will listen to my son. And they cast the son out of the vineyard, and they murdered him. And the Bible says that the Jews knew that Jesus Christ was talking to them and about them. And they sought to murder him for that. And, of course, they did murder him. This is as plain as day. It's just in black and white in the Holy Scriptures. Repeatedly. Parable of the fig tree. Parable of the fig tree. He keeps talking about the fig tree. He comes to look for fruit from the fig tree. and there's no fruit. And he says, tear it down, burn it. And the guy running the show, he says, well, give it another year. Let me dig around it, give it another year, and then tear it down and burn it. And that's exactly what happens. All right? There were an entire generation was given to the Jews to repent. An entire generation. 40 years. From the time Jesus Christ started preaching it in about 30 A.D. to 70 A.D., that was that extra year that the gospel was of Jesus Christ was being preached to the Jews. Right there in Judea, right there in Jerusalem. Gave it another year. And it never brought forth the fruit. And it was cut down and burned. 70 AD, it's utterly destroyed. The temple is utterly destroyed and wiped off the face of the earth. And Judaism loses their land. The Jews lost their land. They're scattered abroad. Later on, they try to resurrect and recollect themselves, led by the Pharisees, who become the rabbis of today. And they took their oral traditions. Talked a lot about the oral traditions. And they wrote it down into the Talmud. Guess what the Talmud's called? The Babylonian Talmud. The Babylonian Talmud. They've got two versions, but the original one is the Babylonian Talmud. This all ties together. Go read about the Mystery Babylon. Go read Mystery Babylon, Revelation 17. And so they were given, they got a generation, they got an extra day. And then tear it down and burn it up. Go read the parables in Matthew and about how the fruit that will not bear fruit will be torn down, chopped up, and cast onto the fire and burned. Bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ told the Jews. Otherwise, you're like a branch. It's going to be broken off and burnt on the fire. Who's the original broken branch? Go read about Satan himself. A rejected branch cast out and burned on the fire. Who's the father of lies? Satan himself. Who is the chief murderer? Satan himself. All right. Who did the Jews ask for in exchange for Jesus Christ? A murderer. Because they were like their father, who was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. They wanted their own brother, a murderer. And if you want to spiritualize all this, if you want to say, oh, that was just, you know, talking in a spiritual context, well, then why don't you just say that Jesus Christ never came in the flesh? Why don't you just say that? Why don't you just say that Jesus Christ himself never came in the flesh? You know, it's just all a spiritual concept. It was the Spirit of Christ. No, man, this is real. This is real. There's real people. There's real actors. There's real players. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. God himself came in the flesh. This isn't some spiritual idea. Don't over-spiritualize all this stuff. He came in the flesh. And he was talking to and about a real people and a real nation. And that old covenant is utterly done and gone forever, for eternity. It's gone. And those that had been invited to the wedding feast refused to come. Those who had been invited to the wedding feast refused to come. Jesus Christ came first for the lost sheep of Israel. Came for him. Preached the gospel to the Jews. Said, please. I don't think he ever said please. But he was willing to give his life for them. He was willing to give his life for them. Did everything he could to stay out of Judea, the land of the Jews, because he liked Galilee up north. But he went down there and he preached to them. He preached the gospel to them. Who's the gospel? Jesus Christ is the gospel. Gospel isn't just, God loves you and he forgives you. Man, the gospel's been twisted by the church. We've become Judeo-Christians. And so they're gone. That's the old. That's the seed of the serpent. That's the brood of vipers. Don't over-spiritualize and say, well, God loves everybody. No, sorry. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Herod was a direct descendant of the Edomites, Esau. And the Edomites become part of the Jewish group. And later on, the Ashkenazi Jews, do they have any relation whatsoever to Judah, King David, genetically? I don't think so. Not according to what I've read, even from the Jewish literature. So you Christians that are running around talking about God's people, God's chosen people, as if an Antichrist people is God's people, you're utterly deceived. You're utterly deceived. Antichrist people are not Christ people. It's just simple. Why do you have to invent a tradition that has no scriptural basis whatsoever? Don't you know who the Antichrists are? They're the people that are anti-Christ, that reject Jesus Christ. Who rejected Jesus Christ? It's the Jews. Who continues to reject Jesus Christ? It's the Jews. Who fought tooth and nail against the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the book of Acts? It's the Jews. And yet you, Judeo-Christian, want to go around and say the Jews are God's chosen people in 2021. And they utterly reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And they've got a demon star on the flag of the country of Israel, a demon star. Go read Acts chapter 7. Demon star goes all the way back to the Exodus. Goes all the way back to the Exodus when Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and they brought along with them the star, the god of Rampha. Acts chapter 7. All right, and even in the Exodus, God told Moses, stand aside, Moses. This is a hard-hearted and obstinate people. I'm going to wipe them out off the face of the earth, and I'll create a people out of you, Moses. Well, Moses was faithful as a servant, but it's Jesus Christ that is the house himself. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the new covenant. Jesus Christ is the new temple. Jesus Christ is the new Zion. Jesus Christ is the temple of God. He is the people of God. He is the land. Can a land be born in one day? Can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be born in a day? Yes, that is Jesus Christ. And all those in Jesus Christ are the chosen people of God. He is the new land. And you're out there trying to, you've been deceived by calling an Antichrist people God's chosen people. Go read the book of Hebrews. Go read the book of Galatians. Go read Jesus Christ. He warned his disciples, don't slide back. Don't listen to the doctrines of the Pharisees. They've got you hoodwinked. They've got you hoodwinked into thinking that somehow they are God's special and chosen people when they utterly reject Jesus Christ. You reject Jesus Christ, you reject God the Father. As a nation, as a culture, as a religion, as an individual. God's not just about the individual. He's about the nation, the culture, the entire millions and millions of people that make up a race. Whether they're an African tribe, of which there are hundreds, there's not just the Africans. There's hundreds of tribes, and believe me, they don't get along and they don't like each other, which is healthy. Because we each need our own unique people. Europe, there's a bunch of tribes in Europe. There's all kinds of tribes in Europe. It used to be there's a bunch of tribes just even in France. In Great Britain, there's tribes. There's the Welsh, there's the English, there's the Scots, there's the Irish. They don't all get along, nor should they. They need to go their own way, make their own people, make their own nation, be unique, be a unique expression of God Almighty. Rebel against Babel. Rebel against the unifying forces of Babel that try to mix everybody together, and everybody's one. We're all one. Universal law, universal human rights. No, rebel against that. I'm not under you. I'm not under you, Satan. I'm not under you. I have a king. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the author of diversity. He's the author of differences. Who do you think disturbed Babel in the first place? All mankind came together and said, we're going to be one, make a great nation for ourselves, make a great name for ourselves. We're going to build a tower into heaven. We're going to exceed the heavens. We're going to go up to where God is, and we're going to be our own God. God said, oh, really? He comes down, and he changes their languages. Instead of speaking one language, now they spoke all kinds of languages. Let's just call it 70. Let's just pick a number. 70 different languages, and they all had to divide up and go their own ways. They had to divide up and go their own ways. And he introduced, along with those differences, it was based on race. All right, so the children of Eber spoke Hebrew. So he took the different bloodlines, and he gave them unique languages, and they spread out. They were forced apart. They had fear of each other, didn't like each other. That's not a problem. It's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. We need to be with our own. I need to be with my own people. And you know this is true. You know this is true. All right, let's reduce it. I have a family. It's called the Bergen family. I have two brothers and a sister. I love them. I love my two brothers and I love my sister. We're blood. We're very, very close. We think alike. We talk alike. We like the same things. The soil that we came out of is the same soil. And it forms our identity. It forms who we are. And we're deeply emotionally attached to the land that we grow up in, the culture that we emerge from, the values that we held deep, the geography, the language, the people. And it makes us whole. It makes us whole. It makes us who we are. It makes us beautiful people. It makes us beautiful and wonderful people. And I love them above all else, above all others. And I include in that my wife and my kids. And beyond that, then there's extended relatives. Why should I prefer somebody from a foreign land with a foreign God, with a foreign culture, and foreign language over my own? Why should I prefer them equal to my own? I do not. And I will never apologize for that. Why do people think that's true? Now, in practice, they don't. In practice, people don't. Even you silly white people claim that everybody's the same. No, we're not the same, nor should we be the same. You claim everybody's the same and everybody should be tolerated and respected? You little members of the diversity and tolerance cult? Then you find somebody that's got a different opinion and you hate their guts and reject them and cast them out, which is fine. That's fine. But don't be a hypocrite. Don't sit there and say you're diverse and tolerant. You're just hypocrites like the Jews were of old, as they are today, as the Pharisees of old. Oh, you have to be diverse and tolerant, but we're going to nail you to a freaking cross, man. You hypocrites and liars. We need to be tolerant of each other. Yeah. Why do you claim to uphold the law, yet in violation of the law, strike me? It's there. It's all there, man. It's all there. We just need to wake up to it. Wow. That was what an introduction. I haven't even got to what I was going to start to talk about. But I am talking about the insurrection. I'm talking about an insurrection. Moses led an insurrection against Pharaoh. He led a non-violent insurrection against Pharaoh, and God Almighty provided the kinetics. Jesus Christ led an insurrection against the Jews, and God Almighty provided the kinetics with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. God did that. Jesus Christ prophesied it. He warned about it. He said it's coming, and it happened exactly 40 years after he started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews. And after he was crucified, his disciples continued to do that for the remainder of that generation, and then God brought in the time's up, brought in the Roman army, utterly wiped that city off the face of the earth, utterly wiped out the temple, and it's gone to this day, and it will never be rebuilt. And if they do, it'll be a temple to Satan himself. If somebody tries to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem, it'll be a temple to Satan himself. Jesus Christ said, Revelation 3:9, the Jews are false Jews. They're of the synagogue of Satan. The temple is the church of Jesus Christ. That's it. You've come to Mount Zion. You've come to the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to the firstborn of the dead. You've come to Jesus. You've come to the blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel. That's it. You've come to the living stone that's been rejected by men. What's that living stone? It's Jesus Christ, who is the foundation stone, the cornerstone for his temple. And it's not just spiritual. It's physical. It's meat space, baby. I'm part of it. I got meat right here, right now on this planet. I'm part of that meat. It's not just pie in the sky heaven. I got meat. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He's not just spiritual. And the church is in meat space too. And it is his people, his physical people, that carry the Holy Spirit of God and have in them the blood of Jesus Christ. And we drink the blood of Jesus Christ and we eat his flesh. This is physical. It's not just spiritual. We are the temple of God. We are the chosen people of God. The Antichrist are not. They're of the seed of the serpent. They're the brood of vipers. And Jesus Christ came and led a rebellion against them. Led a rebellion against them. And he has been building his church since then. And now you got the seed of the serpent out there doing what they do, man. Doing what they do. And it started back 2,000 years ago. The deceit, the lies, the innuendo, the subversion of the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, trying to tell people that they're God's children? No, they're a brood of vipers. They are a brood of vipers. Even well after the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, Jesus Christ himself said they are false Jews of the synagogue of Satan. And you got all these evangelicals running around saying the current day Jews are God's chosen people. Man, you are way off. You are way, way off. And they do nothing but try to undermine the gospel of Jesus Christ and try to invert the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Now, I would that the Jews get saved. I would that they did. This message is for the Jews. You got to repent, man. You got to repent. Saul repented. All right? If you consider Peter a Jew, Peter repented. Peter repented. Saul repented. They repented. They fell down on their faces and repented, and they believed in Jesus Christ and confessed his name. And they shook off that Judaism. They shook it off. They shook off those traditions of men that twisted and perverted the word of God. So if you consider yourself a Jew today, however you define a Jew, repent. If you follow the Jews, repent. If you worship the Jews, repent. There is salvation in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. If you're a Jew, however you define yourself as a Jew, a religious Jew, not religious, it doesn't matter. There is salvation in no other name given among men under heaven except for the name of Jesus Christ. The message to the Jews that Peter spoke was, hey, y'all killed the Christ. You killed the anointed one. That was the message he put to them. He didn't say, hey, you're God's chosen people. He says, hey, you killed the righteous one. You killed the Messiah. You killed the Son of God. You murdered him. And they either fell on their faces and repented or they doubled down in their hatred. You Christians that want to reach the Jews, don't sit there and tell them they're God's chosen people. If anything, you remind them who murdered Jesus Christ. That was the message that Peter had for him. Why do you think you're smarter than him? So both Moses and Jesus Christ led non-violent insurrections against the evil powers of the day. Under Moses, it was against Pharaoh and his dark arts, the dark satanic arts that supported his government. You remember all the wise men in Egypt. They had their staffs too. They brought out their staffs and threw their staffs down and they turned into snakes. You don't think the occult still goes on today? Of course it does. If it went on 3,000 years ago, it still goes on today. There is still a cult in our government in our leadership, in our you know, the synagogues and in some of these evil churches. Why do you think there's such a resurrection of you know, movies and literature about this stuff? It was wiped out because we had a Christian culture and a Christian civilization, and now they'd bring it back. Now they'd bring it back. And the end result is darkness, deception, and evil. I was talking last night about the live human sacrifice that is now a fundamental component of American civilization. This is the worship of Satan himself. You take your firstborn child and you offer him up as a burnt sacrifice, a living sacrifice unto Satan. There's been 70 million burnt sacrifices, living sacrifices of innocent children to Satan since Roe versus Wade in 1972. 70 million firstborn children offered up to Satan as human sacrifices since 1972 in the United States alone. We have the occult now. We have Satan worship now as part and parcel of American civilization. And you wonder why we're so screwed up? Gideon had to deal with the stronghold in the land. He had to go back into his father's house and say, we've got to deal with this stronghold now. They had the temple. They had the altar to Baal. They had the Asherah. He had to deal with that first before he could deal and deal with the Midianites and all the ites out there. And for half a century now, half a century, we have had the sacrifice of America's firstborn unto Satan himself. Of innocent firstborn children, burned alive and chopped into pieces in the ritual called abortion. That is satanic worship. And then the money comes from that, and then you chop those little pieces up and you turn it into vaccines that is injected into every American. In China, over 330 million abortions. This is the live human sacrifice of innocent firstborn children, sacrificed to Satan himself. Back in the old days, 3,000 years ago, it was called Moloch. It's the Satan. And you'd pass the children through the fire. They would offer up their children to Satan, called Moloch. And they'd burn these kids alive, as an offering to Satan. That tradition, that evil rite has not gone away. It's still there. Right here in America, the firstborn child offered up live as a human sacrifice. And you have these evil, evil men and women that promote this stuff and relish in it and delight in it and believe it's a sacrament, whether or not they claim to be Satan worshipers. Man, this has to go. It's all got to go. Don't tell me about the condition of your kids. I got kids. I got a daughter. I got a wife. I'm empathetic to their individual certain situations. But the end result is that it's a live human sacrifice of the firstborn child unto Satan himself. That's what abortion is in America. And it has to go, baby. It's got to go. Christ rebelled against the Jews. God himself brought the kinetics. Moses himself led the rebellion against Pharaoh. God himself brought the kinetics. He brought the curse of the frogs and the curse of the locust and the curse of the blood. Then he utterly destroyed the army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. So ain't the time to major on the kinetics. God Almighty is the captain of the Lord's host. Jesus Christ is the captain of the Lord's host. Jesus Christ is the captain of the Lord's host. What's the host? It's the armies of God. It's the angelic warriors. Do you think God is incapable of coming down with 12 legions of his own warriors and wiping out the enemy? You don't think he's able to do that? He's well able. He's trying to get a hold of the church, though, and see who would live by faith. See who would live by faith. See who would serve him even if we die. See who would serve him and confess his name even in the face of death. That's the great joy of this life. That's the great joy of this the little time we have on earth. We get to experience suffering. We get to live by faith. We get to experience faith and pain. Why do you avoid that? I don't want to live by faith. I like to have the money in my bank. Well, we all do. But the honor you have is you get to live by faith. Right now, all across the world, they're trying to inject us with things that modify our DNA, tell our DNA what to do. Well, if you can tell our DNA to produce this, that, or other thing, what limit is there on that? Even back in Babel, God said, hey, you know, if they're one people, there are going to be no limits to what they're going to be able to do. Well, now under the new Babylon, the same spirit, all working together to start telling the DNA what to do. And is there any limit to that? Go listen to my podcast from last night. So we're in interesting times. The honor that you have today is to join the insurrection. That is the privilege that you have today to say, I'm not putting up with it anymore. Not going to put up with this stuff anymore. I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to speak. How do you undermine the forces of darkness? You open up your mouth and speak. Moses goes to Pharaoh's and he began speaking. Of course, Pharaoh, it's almost hilarious, but it's a message for us today. God tells Moses, go and speak to Pharaoh. Moses tells God, he's probably stuttering. I'm not very good at speaking. I don't know what his problem was, but he said, God, I'm not a very good speaker. God got wroth with Moses. He was wroth. He was angry. He says, if I tell you to do something, who are you to tell me you can't do it? And I almost want to cuss right here, but that would be inappropriate. Dang it, Moses. Who do you think you are to talk back to me and tell me you can't do what I've told you to do? But because you've said this, I'll give the honor to your brother Aaron. Oh, boy. You don't want to be in that boat. I don't want to be in that boat. I don't want to be the one saying, God, I can't do it. God, I can't do it. He says, oh, really, Fritz? I'm going to give this honor then to a different person. Lord God, Jesus Christ, please have mercy on me. Let that never be me. You don't want to be that person either. Let me tell you something. This causes me to fear. Because when there's always two, man, there's two thieves besides Jesus Christ. There's always two. And one of them went one way, one of them went the other. You remember the story of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi goes into this other country, goes into Moab. Her husband dies, the sons-in-law die, and she starts coming out with the two daughter-in-laws. There's two of them. And finally one turns back, and Ruth follows her. There's always two. Okay, there's the twins. There's Esau and Jacob. Esau sold out, man. He sold out his birthright. Sold it out for a pot of stew. And Jacob was tapped. Jacob was the one. There was two Judases that were amongst the disciples of Jesus Christ. And of the two Judases, one of them becomes Judas the traitor. The other Judas changes his name. You never hear that name again from him. But it's in there if you dig deep. It's always two, man. You don't want to be the one that turns away. You don't want to be the one that says, I ain't going to do it. Okay, you don't want to be the son that says, I'm going to go work in your vineyard, but later on you change your freaking mind. You don't want to be that one. You want to be the one that says, I'm going to stand up to it, even though I don't have what it takes in my own minor eyes. Let me tell you something. I got the fear of God in me. I work in an interesting place right now. And you've got people that work for the company, the corporation, sophisticated, educated, well-dressed, make good money. And then across the street, there's 20, 30, 40 tents down there, nylon tents, Walmart-type pop-up tents, and men and women are living under there. Then you got the George Washington University students. Beautiful young people. God bless them. My heart goes out to them. I used to be that young and pretty 40 years ago. Not so much anymore. Completely different peoples, but completely different groups, completely different cultures. And there's a man down there, and he's a street preacher. Lives under a tarp, and he's a street preacher. Got all kinds of, you know, has had an interesting past. But God's calling him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's not making excuses. He's not waiting until he gets it all together. He's not waiting until he actually lives in an apartment somewhere. He's not waiting until he's got anything, man. Dude lives in the freaking street under a tarp. Yet he's faithful to go out on the street corner and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. Don't tell me you don't have enough to start. And I'm preaching to myself, baby. I'm preaching to myself. I see him and I fear God. I see that man and I fear God. Who am I to tell the Almighty, I'm not ready yet. I don't have enough. My life's not together. I don't have all my ducks in a row. I'm still dealing with issues in my life. I need this and I need that. If I only had this, I only had that. The dude lives under a freaking blue tarp on the street. And he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What excuse do I have? And I fear God. I fear God. Here's a man ahead of me. And he's taken whatever he has, and he's not making excuses, and he's out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's a greater man than I'll ever be, with more honor than I'll ever have. And I am in fear and trembling and awe and so greatly inspired by him. I mean, ain't no excuses, man. Got no excuses. Making no excuses. He's out there doing the work of the ministry. Dude lives under a freaking blue tarp. Still trying to deal with issues from his past, as we all are. As we all are, as I continue to. As I'm sure you do too. Well, I don't have it all together. I don't either, man. He doesn't either. But we're going to speak the word of the Lord. Sometimes I think, and I know, that God uses people that are so imperfect, so people's eyes aren't on the perfection. And there's a certain denomination, you know it and I know it, they're not even a Christian denomination, but it's a religious organization, and they put out the front of perfection. And people are like, wow, ooh, ah. Sometimes I think God said, nope. I'm going to take the imperfect and the ugly, the profane, because I want people to look at me. I want people to look at Jesus Christ, at God Almighty, not at people. I don't want them to join an organization. I want them to bring their souls to me, and I will change them and make them different. That's a sermon in itself. What is it Paul says? Who are you, or rich and famous or good looking? Aren't you the dregs of the world? Aren't you the scum of the earth? Paul said that about himself. I'm the scum of the earth and the dregs of the world. I think I'll start a church and name it the dregs and scum. Don't look at us. Don't look at people. You want to look at the outside? Dude, you're missing it. It is the inside. And you need to get right with God, not with people. I remember when I was a young man, you get these weirdo Christians, man. They're just weird. They're just freaking weird. And I was like, why do I want to be associated with that? And the answer is, what do you got your eyes on? Serving God or joining the in club, joining the cool crowd? And what are you willing to sacrifice in order to serve the living God? It's a privilege to serve the living God. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's an honor. And you will sacrifice for it. You will. Jesus Christ was very clear. You want to follow me? You pick up your cross. I ain't handing out free candy here, buddy. This isn't a free ticket to a concert. This isn't a pass to get into heaven. Here, just take a free ticket. You too can get into heaven. Please. No, man, you want to follow me? Pick up your cross. Only in this life do you have the honor of suffering and enduring hardship and pain and death, to have the honor of standing with Jesus Christ. Take advantage of this life. Take advantage of this time. Don't ignore it. Don't say, oh, you know, I don't want to do that. You're bypassing the greatest honor in life. You're bypassing the greatest thing that has ever been offered to you. And you say to yourself, well, you know, I kind of like the cult. Got my friends in the cult. You know, I make good money in the cult. People accept me in the cult. Hey, man, that's what you want. That's what you want. That's what you want. Who am I to argue with what you want? If you decide to come out of the cult, you're right. People will hate you. They will turn on you, and they will hate your guts. And that'll be a sign to you that you never should have been in the cult in the first place. Why do you want to be friends with people that really aren't your friends? They're really not there for you. When push comes to shove, they will reject you. That'll be proof to you that you really were in a cult. Cult members are so intimidated, and they want to just be accepted and do what they're told. They're in slavery. They're in utter slavery. I mentioned last night, I said, listen, there's no neutral zone. You got the Klingons and you got the Federation. I know I'm dating myself. Star Trek goes back to the 1960s. We all want to live in a neutral zone where we can just do our own dang thing. I get it. Me too. But guess what? There's no neutral zone. There's the kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of light. There's Satan's kingdom and there's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. There's the Klingons and the Federation. There ain't no neutral zone, buddy. There ain't no neutral zone. And the beauty of this moment in time in the world is the illusion of a neutral zone has gone away. And you're forced to make a choice. And the enmity and hatred grows between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And it is an eternal enmity. It goes all the way back to Genesis 3, 14 and 15. It was on full display when Jesus Christ was here preaching the gospel. And there was deep-seated enmity between him and you-know-who, the seed of the serpent, the brood of vipers. And that continues right to the book of Acts, and Jesus Christ repeats it in the book of Revelation. And somehow you think you've surpassed the enmity. Somehow you think you've come into a new promised land where we can all get along. The new promised land that you think is a promised land is the old promised land of Babel. We're all one. We're all one, and they had Satan himself as their king. I offer you deliverance out of that through Jesus Christ, not through me. I'm just some dude that's speaking. But hey, it's there. I offer it to you, liberty, freedom, in Jesus Christ, in the kingdom of light, not in the kingdom of darkness. The forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ offers the forgiveness of sins. If you repent, if you believe in your heart that God rose from that he rose from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, this is a kingdom issue. This is a political issue. This is a meat space issue. It's not just pie in the sky spiritualism. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. In this life, in your flesh, in your own carnate, you've got to make these decisions. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's in the flesh. That's in real life. That's in meat space. Peter, I love Peter. All right, God gave him a dream. He said, look, some dudes are going to come along and they're going to ask you to go to this guy's place. He happens to be a very high Roman military officer charged with making sure people are loyal to the Caesar. Jeez, Peter goes into his house. He says, Jesus Christ is the first thing he says is Jesus Christ is Lord of all. In your face, buddy. You serve Caesar? I got a message for you. Let's be up front. Let's be up front right now. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That was a kingdom statement. That was a political statement. That's not just a religious statement. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Why do you think they murdered Jesus Christ? Because of some spiritual thing? Some religious idea? The Jews themselves said, the Pharisees themselves, Sanhedrin themselves, the chief priests, they all said the same thing. If we don't shut this guy off, the Romans are going to come. They're going to take away our nation and our power. They said it out loud. They knew exactly what was going to happen, so they murdered him. Made a big mistake because the dude rose from the dead. And he sent his spirit, his Holy Spirit, to fill his disciples, his followers, to give them power to preach the gospel. And then now there's real power going on. You got that one seed died and then sprang to life, and the seed spreads and the seed grows, as it does to this day. And the Jews were outraged, the ones that did not convert. First conversions were amongst the Jews. They repented. They said, oh, my God, you're right, we're wrong. And they fell on their faces. They bent the knee to Jesus Christ. They got baptized publicly in the name of Jesus Christ, rejected the traditions of the fathers, rejected the Talmud, and served the Messiah that all the prophets spoke about, all the prophets pointed to, that Moses himself pointed to. But they were deceived and they were in deception. And later on, I mean, you know, that spirit of Babel continues to this day. You know, Caesar said, I'm a god. Y'all got to burn a little incense to me just to show that you're loyal to me. Christian said, well, I ain't doing it. I ain't burning no incense to you. Go fish. I ain't burning incense to you. It goes right back to what I was saying the other day about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know how many Jews were in Babylon back at that time. At one point I read 3,000. Other points, I don't know how many. But only three of them refused to bow down before the idol. Now imagine that. Imagine that. If somebody just said, look, man, just bow down to the idol. Okay, it's a 30-second deal. You go back and do your little Jewish thing over there. Go back and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go back and, you know, do whatever you got to do. But for now, you're going to bow down to this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, over my dead body. There's probably a lot of reasonable people over there saying, why do you have to be so obstinate? Why do you have to be so hard? Just give the dude what he wants, man, and then you can go do your thing. So, nope, our God's able to save us from this, but even if he doesn't, we will not do it. And so they picked him up and threw him into the fire. That's where the story really needs to end. Because that's the situation that Christians today have to be able to deal with and face. They have to be able to look that in the eye and say, even if it costs me my life, I'm going to do the right thing. But they like to skip that part and go to where Jesus Christ shows up in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and saves them. They like that part. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want to carry a cross. We all want to go to heaven, but we don't want to carry a cross. We all want to be in the furnace with the fourth man and come out there alive and have and be appointed to high positions, but they don't want to go in the furnace in the first place. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had it right. God's able to save us, but even if he doesn't, screw you, Nebuchadnezzar. Ain't doing it. Ain't doing it in your face. I'm defying you, defying your order. Not going to do it. Don't look to, you know, what, you know, that God could save you. Make your decision based on that. Yeah, you're going to probably die. Daniel had the same thing. Daniel was the same way under King Darius. Darius made a law. Said nobody's going to make any petition to any god or man for 30 days. Otherwise, he's going to be thrown in the lion's den. Daniel goes home, opens up his windows so everybody can see and hear what he's doing. He bows down 3 times a day and he prays to his God. He said, no, I'm no way, no freaking way. It's not worth my life. And they throw him in the lion's den. Story should end right there. Oh, but we like to read about how Daniel gets saved. No, no, Christian, stop that. Stop looking for the salvation and look for the cross. Stop looking for heaven and start picking up your cross. Stop looking for the good things and start looking for your cross. We all want the salvation, but nobody wants the cross. Man, you live in exciting times. We live in exciting times. You can join a rebellion. Join the insurrection against the hatred. They say they're loving and acceptable. They're liars. You know they are. Quit the cult and see what kind of love and acceptance you get. See what kind of hypocrites they really are. What kind of love and acceptance does Jesus Christ get from the Pharisees? They're prancing around so self-righteous, so holy and so self-righteous. Look at me, look at me. I'm not like other people. I'm not racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, or anti-Semitic like Fritz is. Look at me, God, I'm holy. That's diversity and tolerance club. You quit the cult, and they don't like it, man. They don't like it. Hatred comes out because that's their heart. Look, man, it's, you know, we all watch Star Wars, and we all want to be part of the rebellion. Yeah, when it comes right down to it, the Christians want to get out of the lion's den, and they don't want to get in the lion's den. They want heaven, but they don't want the cross. They want salvation, but they don't want to bear about in their body the dying of Jesus Christ every day. Only in this life do you get to suffer. It's an honor. The first 11 chapters of Genesis are the most important things you can read and understand and know. I encourage you to go back and read those 11 chapters. Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, up through 11. And you will see today what's taught in our world is a complete inversion of the first 11 chapters of Genesis. A complete inversion. That's from the seed of the serpent. That's the devil's plan, to invert all the good that God did. And you're going to say to yourself, you're going to read that and say, well, this is unscientific. It's racist. It's sexist. It's homophobic. It's transphobic. It's intolerant. It's divisive. And it's anti-Semitic. So I encourage you to read it. Come to those conclusions. And then decide where you want to be, man. Decide what you want to do. You want to be in the cult? You knock yourself out. You want to side with the seed of the serpent? The brood of vipers. That's your decision. But, oh man, what an honor it is. What an honor it is to say, you know what? I'm going to stand with the Son of God. He's literally the Son of Almighty God. You stand with him now. You stand with him in the dark time. You stand with him when it's hard, not when it's easy. That's why he gives us hard times. He wants to see who will stand when it's hard, not when it's easy. There's no greater gift than this in life than to be able to stand for the Son of God and pay a price for it. You wouldn't want it any other way. Why would you want it any other way? You want a free gift? What's a free gift worth? Not worth anything. Everybody knows that. Yet the church tries to reduce it and sell it. Package it up and say, please, please, please. Jesus Christ never said please. He drove people away. He said, hey, you want to follow me? You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. People said, you're crazy, man. You're nuts. They turned around and walked away by the hundreds. Turns to his 12. The 12, he said, you want to leave me too? He wasn't begging people. He wasn't begging people. You want to leave? Man, you knock yourselves out. You go ahead. You want to follow me? You pick up a cross. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. 16th of August, 2021. Out.